You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
I can only speak for my community. I can only speak for the chicken. I swear, I tell no lie.
Go to what KFC? Any kind of stew. Poulet, si vous plaît. You know what to do. We like chicken. We like chicken. We like chicken every day. We like chicken. Cook it any kind of way. We like chicken. We ain't coming here to play. We love chicken. Chicken. When you really love the bird, this is what you gotta do. Chicken. Chicken for Prime Minister. Chicken for the Queen. Chicken on my bike. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean.
Chicken on my car. Rolling with my bro. This is what I like. I love chicken, man. I love chicken. We love chicken, man.
Chicken.
It's not about black. It's not about white. Chicken in the daytime. Chicken every night. I love chicken, man.
Chicken.
Everybody loves the bird. It's a fox.
Nigeria.
Chicken.
Colombia.
Chicken.
Australia.
Chicken.
America.
Chicken.
Paris.
Chicken.
Addis.
Chicken.
London.
Chicken.
New York.
Chicken.
Worldwide, you know. Global intelligence. A praise to the poultry. Bringing pure poultry. Uniting the world. One chicken at a time. Uniting the world. One chicken at a time. Uniting the world. One chicken at a time. Uniting the world.
One chicken at a time.
Uniting the world. One chicken at a time.
Chicken.
Hello and welcome to Uprise Radio with your hosts, Koshin and Zan. I'd like to begin our episode by paying our respect and giving acknowledgement to the Wurundjeri people on the land that we are broadcasting from. And I think traditional ownership is a good place to start actually for this episode, where we will be talking about the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the coal, the mining that goes on in that area, the artisanal mining, the cobalt mining, and also the cobalt mining that goes on in other parts of the world.
We are returning to critical and conflict minerals. And I also need to give a shout out to the artist behind that incredible track, Chicken on Bike. That was Olana Janfa, local legend. The rest of the EP is incredible and you should all go listen to it. It was done in collaboration with Harvey Sutherland.
Big fan of that song.
Chicken for Prime Minister is something that we should return to.
Yeah, yeah. Animal liberation should include animals being able to participate electorally. I do.
It's part of a fair democracy, yeah. Is chickens in parliament.
That is a stance that I've decided now that I will take from now on, moving forward. So we are talking about the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I guess a good place to start would be to give some background on the history of the DRC, one of the largest countries in the world, definitely in Africa. DRC began, like many nations in Africa, as a post-colonial nation. Its borders were determined by the colonial powers. In this case, it was a Belgian colony. Actually, interestingly, the Congo colony, begun by Leopold II, started out not necessarily as a state project, but actually as a personal holding of King Leopold II of Belgium. It was a fiefdom, basically. It was a personal domain that was then later transferred to state ownership of Belgium, and then evolved into a fully fledged colony, which was, it was one of the more horrific colonies in Africa. A lot of stories out of Africa about the brutality of the Belgian colonial project. But they gained independence much sooner than the European powers would have liked. They were led by Patrice Lumumba, famous Pan-Africanist, who was 100%, I mean, I think this is in the historical record, 100% assassinated by the CIA. I think even they've admitted it now. Definitely just certified fact, no conspiracy theory.
We're not saying allegedly before that sentence.
There is no allegedly in this opinion. Patrice Lumumba killed by the CIA for, they claimed that he was a communist, which is hilarious when you read any of his political stances. It is not, it is basically, yeah, he was a liberal leader, essentially. I mean, he wanted an independent state.
Also, which, being a communist is grounds for murder, doesn't yeah, seem.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it really shows that when you look at the Cold War and all the justification for all of the imperialism around the world, the specter of communism, the shadow of communism, it really was just a pretext. You did not even actually need to be a communist. You just needed to not align with the interests of the US or European powers. So yeah, after Patrice Lumumba was killed, the Congo today is, the DRC today is not in a good state. They are, yeah, it's a constant location of violence. Right now there is fighting going on with the M23 rebels in the east. It's, yeah, I think what we're going to talk about today, I think the lineage of this can be traced right back to independence, right back to decolonization, and the fact that these ex-colonies were never given a chance to develop independently and develop in a way where they could have had a sustainable or equitable system. They were, it was predetermined in a lot of ways, or overdetermined, that once the, once there was this much weight on the scales against them being independent sovereign nations, they were, this is the state that the country is in today is essentially by design. Like, this is what the imperial powers wanted. They want a country that's on its back foot all the time and can be exploited. Yeah.
And I think that's really furthered by media representation a lot in the way that discourse of like corruption is spoken about in terms of mismanagement and corruption. And it's never pinned back to the ongoing harm brought by colonial occupation. It's pinned on individuals in the country. And I think being mindful of always tying that corruption back to the history, and even if the colony might not be in the same state, understanding that the legacy of harm and the process of healing from that is a long one.
Mm. Yeah. Things could have gone in a very different way if decolonization had been accepted by on the world stage. That and if Pan-Africanism as a concept, as a political project, hadn't been meddled with. I mean, if you could have had a united Africa, we would be in a very different world, and I don't think we would be talking about the incidents that we're going to be talking about today, involving the artisanal mining economy, which is a major source of income for many Congolese, just by the fact that the country is massively overexploited and there's a lack of other economic opportunity. Quickly want to shout out Michael Parenti. I always think about his comments that there are, these countries are not poor. They're not poor countries. You don't go to poor countries to get money. That these are rich countries. That they are overexploited countries. that their riches are taken and given to the Western world. These countries are rich in natural resources, and yet their economies are poor. And there's a reason for that. It's because they don't benefit from their own, the resources that they have access to.
It reminds me, just the other day, when I was looking into mining in so-called Australia, and Auntie Sue, Gugatha Elder, made a comment on a 3CR episode about being offered $1 million to kind of stay silent and back off. And she made a comment about already being rich and not needing the money because she was rich in her country and her people, and just seeing the way that capitalism freaking flails and flattens in comparison to the other ways that we can experience richness.
So did you want to introduce the incident that people might have seen already on the news?
So for a bit of background, this is mostly going off, I guess, a combo of Al Jazeera and BBC reporting, but the nuts and bolts of what has been seen is that a cobalt mine collapsed in the DRC recently, resulting in upwards of 32 people killed. And this was attributed to overcrowding at the site, which is in Kalando. And the provincial interior minister, Mayonde, made a comment about that despite there being a formal ban on mining due to heavy rain and landslide risks, wildcat miners forced their way into the quarry, and the collapse occurred when miners rushed across a bridge that subsequently gave way. And what I found really concerning about, I guess, that statement and wider reporting around it was the lack of focus that was given to all the things that contributed to those miners being at that site and running across the bridge. And there was mention made of the rush being reported by gunfire from soldiers stationed at the site, which caused widespread panic. And I thought it was quite chilling that the military was not named very clearly in contributing to why this crash occurred, because I think people have very valid reasons for being panicked and running, and that wasn't really mentioned in his statement. And there have been since that independent investigations called for that will examine the military's role and also the clashes between the miners and the soldiers.
These artisanal miners, they are not, they're in a like a gray economy. It's not necessarily legal or illegal. They often operate on the outskirts of the industrial mining operations that are going on. So you will have massive machinery doing a big chunk of the mining, but you'll also just have so many people mining with pickaxes and shovels that they contribute a huge chunk of whatever minerals being mined. I mean, in this case, the cobalt. I think it's something like 10 to 20% of the cobalt in the supply chain comes from these artisanal miners, just because the amount of people mining, they end up taking a huge amount of resources out of the land.
For people that might not know, would you be able to define what artisanal mining is?
Yeah, so the artisanal miners are basically, it's a term for miners who mine with their hands, with hand tools, not with these industrial scale, we've all seen the images of these huge machines they have in Australia at the coal mines that just rip up huge amounts of earth in, every second. These artisanal miners are going, sometimes digging tunnels underground in very precarious positions, very dangerous situations, in order to chisel out as much as they can get. And they get a few dollars a day is reported. But yeah, I mean, when you're in that situation, that it ends up being a huge source of income for a lot of people, and it really comes from the fact that the labor is so cheap in that area, just because of a lack of other opportunities, that it ends up being economically viable to just have millions of people in the world just chiseling and pickaxing the outskirts of these industrial mines, or mining after hours when the industrial mines aren't working. And it's sort of tolerated. Region by region, there are different rules, but they're tolerated, or sometimes, like with what happened in this incident, they're pushed out.
I think it's important to note, there's been a lot of documentation. Amnesty International is one, about human rights abuses that have happened in the DRC because of the expansion of mining. And I guess just resituating myself and being reminded that in condemning all of this, I am part of the supply chain, and in understanding that cobalt contributes to a lot of different things, and the way that it's represented in the media is often within being a critical mineral, and knowing that there's so many products that we personally use that are part of this supply chain. And I guess understanding the power of us and understanding how it flows all the way down and what it means for us to be using products.
I think that's the thing, is there's a lot of song and dance about having a ethical supply chains, and companies saying that they're ensuring that they're only getting resources from sourced companies that they know are definitely not contributing to these problems. But the supply chains are so contaminated, there's really no way for them to know. The mining companies themselves will often be the ones buying the minerals from the artisanal miners. So this human suffering is integral to the modern supply chain for all of these resources that are used for these advanced technologies. The line just goes straight through all the way to consumer products.
And to things that are named kind of for the green transition and sustainability, and I know electric cars are one, but there's a lot of other civilian products that are used. And also, like, defense industry is a huge user of these minerals.
Maybe we should mention that cobalt is a major component in lithium-ion batteries. So electric vehicles, the general electrification of the economy, which, on the one hand, is good for, if you can have an electrified economy and also have renewable energy production, then that's great in terms of climate change. But it currently, because of our international capitalist system, requires the contribution of these workers who have zero protection. I mean, there's also in these artisanal mining operations, you have children, you have entire families working together with no protections. No one's going to be compensated for this accident that happened, this mine collapse. It's integral to the system as it functions today for cheap resources.
It also really made me look at vapes with a new level of horror today.
Vapes gotta go. What are we doing here?
Chicken for Prime Minister and vapes gotta go.
Vapes have got to go. That should have bipartisan consensus. That should be a unifying, that could be a message on the left, is for internal discipline. We should be, if you're vaping, you gotta go. You need to go. You need to have some kind of, you need to be taught to leave that thing. It is really unfair. People are getting old vapes and strapping them together and making battery packs and stuff with them.
The
batteries are good quality batteries in disposable vapes.
There's a lot of batteries going on.
Yeah, which is possible because the base resources are so cheap, because the labor investment is so minimal because you're talking about people who can be paid dollars a day for mining. That then enables cheap consumer goods like disposable vapes that, they're using resources that really shouldn't be that cheap. You really shouldn't be able to have an entire consumer product that with millions of vapes are being made that are disposable when they're using good quality batteries that could be reused, could be recharged, but it's just so cheap that, you know, why bother? Why bother making it a rechargeable unit? Just chuck it out.
You should not be able to have banana flavored nicotine air.
Yeah. It's just
on so many levels. But I think I actually do want to note, even in that particular, very specific example of the vape, is I think understanding the way that like capitalism latches onto every single aspect, like the way that nicotine addiction is part of that, and the way that the BDS component is complicated in understanding how your own brain chemistry is being changed by these things, that makes it so much harder to even want to let go of it because your own goddamn chemistry is being altered.
We need a deeper purpose in life than consumption. Capitalism will allow us to consume as much as it wants us to consume. It's that's how it gets its legitimacy, is through massive consumption. You need to, if you're listening right now and you've got a vape in your hand, I want you to throw that thing out the window.
And then go have an ice bath and meditate for 20 minutes.
Yes. Now we're talking.
And then let us know what the action plan is for the revolution. I also wanted to note in the DRC that in the supply chain, 80% of the cobalt production in the DRC is controlled by Chinese companies. And there's, I guess, another level in terms of the way that that refining process itself functions in terms of people having sovereign control of the resources versus it being necessarily exported. So people can't really be in control of even having kind of capital of the final product.
Yeah, that's been a big Pan-Africanist argument for decades, is this idea that you are extracting raw resources and then sending them overseas to be refined and manufactured into goods that are then re-imported back into Africa. And it's been a long demand of many Pan-Africanist activists and leaders to manufacture things in Africa in order to, hold on to, retain the wealth of the natural resources, it is the way that the supply chains work, the way that we have these resources bouncing around between so many different countries. I saw a photo of a pear, I think. It's grown in Argentina, maybe. Grown in South America and then sent to somewhere in Southeast Asia to be packaged, and then it's sent back into the United States. It's just
that pair would have such bad jet lag.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a simpler way. But the Congo as well. I mean, there's a long running conflict in the northeast with M23. The M23 militia, which is backed by Rwanda, or that's an allegedly, I got to put an allegedly in there, I guess, allegedly backed by Rwanda. That is a conflict that's about resources. I mean, the Congo is an incredibly rich in resource region, and controlling that is, that brings great economic benefits. Rwanda exports resources that they do not have in their country, and it's very obvious that they're getting these resources from the M23 militia, who are controlling these resource rich regions. Control, capitalism breeds violence and imperialism. It is a requirement to control these areas, to control these resources.
I was really expecting when you said control to go control alt delete.
Yeah, we do need a control or delete moment, a global control or delete moment, end program.
it's reminding me of, remember Earth Hour?
Yeah.
Back when everyone came together to collectively sit in the dark for a bit.
Yeah, that was nice. Bring the consumption levels down.
It's also reminding me, I feel like I need to own up to this publicly, of the moments where I haven't had a head torch and I've used my vape as a light.
Wow. Okay. So you're admitting.
I want to admit that I'm definitely part of the problem and definitely need, to own up as being part of the supply chain. Mm.
When the revolution comes, you will not be saved.
Yeah. Me and Trump.
Think Trump's hitting the vape back in the White House? We did not plan for this to be a vape heavy episode.
No, I'm thinking of the thing from a few episodes ago about his comments around getting into heaven.
Oh, yes, of course.
Coming clean.
Yeah.
I also wanted to note, since we're talking so much about cobalt, acknowledging that what's happening in so-called Australia is also part of the picture, and that Glencore is a huge company, one of the largest mining conglomerates, and they have a nickel and cobalt mine in so-called Australia. And Glencore itself has been part of many protests. I think listeners would know that from the solidarity movement against its role in, I guess, fueling the IDF, both with its coal. But I guess just understanding that these mines, they also happen here and they're also on unceded country, and it might look different, but it's also pretty horrific. I was looking just this morning actually at the way that certain Commonwealth legislation, especially with nuclear waste, will completely override like Native Title and Aboriginal Heritage Acts, and just to be starkly reminded that there's grave injustice happening here as well in terms of how things are mined and harvested on stolen land.
Yeah, no, it's one global system of oppression and extraction. Wish we had a happier note to end on.
I do want to shout out Auntie Sue for the incredible work that she is doing with her team around Southern Launch and fighting against threats to country that is not just around mining. There is things around uranium mining, but also just militarism in general. And her work is really inspiring, and there's always ways to get involved. And so I would really encourage listeners to both listen to all of the really cool episodes that she's done on 3CR and look up her campaign and how you can get involved, because she's doing good stuff here.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will see you soon in a couple of weeks.
Chicken for Prime Minister, vapes in the bin.
Do you want to introduce the show, the music we're going out with?
Oh, yes. Candy, Venus Roots, featuring Jazzy.
Bye.
Racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved.